pleasure to be here. And yes, I'll talk today about Lando Ginsburg's perspective on Greg Randall's climate stability. Well, this is a work by John Ginsburg at all, to some extent. And the outline, I will start with brief reminding you what Greg Randall's climate stability is, of Greg Randall's climate of black stream, the phase transition that it triggers, the order of this phase transition, and some interesting critical dimensions that appears in this system to change the order of the resulting phase transitions from first to second. Then I'll remind you very briefly what Ginsburg's Lando theory of phase transition is, and try to apply to instability of black string. And after that, more generally to arbitrary torus compactification. So black string is a higher dimensional black hole which works around compact circles, so I also consider torus compactification. And the conclusion here will be that the critical dimension or the order of the phase transition depends only on the number of extended dimensions and does not depend on the number of compact dimension. And finally, I will also describe some open questions related to this system. So, Gregory and Laplace stability, one considers higher dimensional space-time, d in d dimensions, larger than 4, small d designates the number of extended dimension, and d large d total number of total dimension, and there's one compact circle. So, the simplest solution in this space-time is uniform black string, which is given by Schwarzschild solution times spectating the z coordinate. The length, asymptotic length of the circle is L, and the size of the horizon are not. Out of these two dimensional quantities, a single dimensionless control parameter can be constructed, dimensionless mass. Or one can also talk about the ratio between R0 to L, which is sort of dimensionless temperature. So the discovery of Greg Randall's Lando 93 was that this solution is stable only for higher mass, or when it's for a given for higher one. I would say that it's only stable when it's massive enough. When it's becomes lighter, and the instability mode appears, that the curves horizon in this way, and that actually it was found in perturbation theory, so it's a real classical instability of the black string. So,
I have a question.
Sure.
You seem to have two bounds of R0 and L, and the, so R0 will not enter into.
Well, R0 can be related to the mass in, for a Schwarzschild black hole, right? As R0 is, the mass is given basically R0 to d minus 3. Yeah, so for lighter strings are unstable, heavier are stable, and the marginal mode for which at exactly critical mass there is a marginal tachyonic zero mode which is time independent, which is the static mode. So I will be mostly discussing this static mode. So what is the end state of this instability? So this shows, I guess, this shows the embedding diagram and one might think about the time evolution in this direction, or one can think about the sequence of static solutions obtained by solving static equations for different when one changes parameters that varies the non-uniformity on the solution. So one way to study the end state of the instability is just to perturb it below critical mass and to follow its dynamical evolution. This was done to some extent in O3 by Chop Tuik and the collaborators. However, the numerical code that meant to trace this instability was at some point developed instability, so the pinch off was wasn't really observed. The evolution was observed up to some pretty curved, pretty non-uniform solution, and then without showing any signs of slowing down, but then the numerical errors took off and the code just crashed. So this is work in progress. Still, these people work on improving this code.
So what is the size of the pinch compared to L?
So the size that they got is the size of the pinch?
Yeah.
The size of this.
Yeah. Where the numerical evolution, for example, or the echo, for example.
So the ratio of the radius here and here is about 10. The size of L. Now I guess you mean about you asked about the proper length.
Yeah, I want to say is that an order of magnitude, two order, three order, rough idea.
It's order one, so 1.3 or something like this, if I remember correctly. So the other program will be in addition to dynamical evolution. The other program will be to understand the constructed phase diagram that will accommodate all solutions in this system. And since by definition the end state is a static solution, it should be on this phase diagram. So I will now discuss the phase diagram of the solution in this system. So this is plot in some lower dimensions. The vertical axis shows this dimensionless mass density. The horizontal axis corresponds to scalar charge. This system is not symbolically flat, it has compact circles, so from elliptic line perspective, one lower dimension, there is a scalar charge, which can be also related to the tension along the compact dimension. So here we plot the tension. And all the solutions turn out to be confined to the compact region of variation of the scalar charge. So the diagram shows at one extreme of this diagram, we have the uniform black stream, which is stable until some mass, and then it becomes unstable. From this branch, another branch emerges, the branch that corresponds to the uniform black stream solution. Solutions was constructed perturbatively around this point and also recently extended to all the non-uniformity in many other dimensions. So the other extreme corresponds to the black hole, to the solution. So this is the black stream, the uniform black stream. This is the non-uniform black stream. And the third solution here is a black hole. It's a spherical black hole. So this guy lived here. This branch was constructed numerically in several dimensions. And actually, it was shown to a good extent that the branches are even like looks along one branch and then looks around other branch. They seem to meet. At some intermediate point, but this circle showed that the branches weren't shown to meet each other that close, so there is a steel gap between the branches. So the solution, the black hole was obtained only to some finite size, and the black string was obtained only to some finite size. So there is actually the very critical solution was so far, and I will discuss some interesting questions that may be related to the merger point. So I also showed here that the merger point, there is some interesting another critical dimension in this merger point. This critical dimension corresponds basically to if one follows the family of the solutions and measure, say, along this range, and measure some characteristic length scale, like curvature, this curvature appears to change in the manner, in a periodic manner, it grows in a periodic manner, and below 10 dimension, and this periodicity disappears. It just grows monotonically in above critical dimension. So it's a reminiscent of what happens in the critical collapse of a scalar field. Well, so there's another critical interesting dimension related to the merger point. So in this range of the dimensions, perturbation analysis, actually what was done first to construct this branch perturbatively, shows that the mass along this branch, in the mass it goes up, and the entropy for a given mass is also higher than the entropy of the uniform black string. So the instability here, when it appears, it cannot go to the non-uniform black string branch because it's more energetic, so it has to go somewhere in a finite distance and configuration space. And the non-uniform solution develops then non-smoothly, so it is what one calls first-order phase transition. So the construction, this conclusion is based on the perturbative construction of non-uniform black strings about this instability point, and in the outcome of this instability is also these two thermodynamical variables that one computes and puts on the space diagram. But however, if one repeats this computation in higher dimension, it appears that the inequalities in the previous slide slightly reversed, and the non-uniform black string appears less massive, and it has it is entropically favorable over uniform black string. So in this case, in high enough dimension, the evolution of the general stability can smoothly go to a slight non-uniform string, and so forth. So in this case, the non-uniform black string branch develops smoothly. So this is what one would say, second-order phase transition. So this, again, I plot here only the beginning of this branch. It was constructed numerically, and there is also a numerical, it was also a perturbative construction of the black hole branch. So what happens in the intermediate regime here is less known in this higher dimension, but probably the simplest possibility would be just to connect these two branches to some merger point. And the numerical construction of these branches in higher dimensions is really complicated because the gravity in higher dimensions is very local. So numerical codes usually very unstable. So it is still a challenge to find fully these branches. So this dimension is sort of surprising as we were discussing, because Einstein equations which are basically solved here are dimension independent. So why should this dimensional dependence why should this critical dimension, what is the physical scale which is responsible for the change of the order of the phase transition? Yeah, I also forgot to mention in the previous slide that actually this is probably the simplest system that shows that the uniqueness of black hole solution broke down in higher dimensions. So in four dimensions, the asymptotic charges select unique black hole solution, while in higher dimension, for a given mass, we can have two solutions. So this is another this is another dramatic change that just varying the dimension introduces into the picture. So right, so we saw that there is a critical dimension And the conclusion actually, the conclusion was essentially based on the perturbative construction of the explicit construction of non-uniform black string and change in the computing its thermodynamical variables variation of mass and entropy. So the conclusion is that there is a general instability that leads to the phase transition, and the order of the phase transition depends on the dimension. Now, this dimension appears now to be not universal. So we found that, say, if we keep mass constant, it's a microcanonical. So the dimension is 13.5, so, which means that for 14 it's second order, for 13 it's first order. Now, in canonical ensemble, the similar computation is 12.5. So it depends what one keeps constant, mass or temperature. There is no linear, of course, relation between mass and temperature. So the dimension appears to be slower. Now, lower. Now, if one and also charges, the critical dimension can be as low as 6. So which is which is more encouraging than dimension greater than 10.
How do you see what the order of phase transition is, since your phase is never connected? Right? Oh. So you were saying that there is still unsolved problem. Right? So when you talk about order of phase transition, how exactly?
Well, when I say order of phase transition, I'm asking if there is phase that develops smoothly out of critical point. So if I only slightly change. If the mass, if there is some nearby phase, they can develop.
So that's near this Gregory
point.
So it's not that.
It's not the other pressure. Well, it depends on the dimension. For example, here I can go very smoothly. If I slightly lower the mass, this solution develops very smooth. So.
Okay.
And I hope that from my perspective will also bring another. View on the order of the phase transition. So yeah, so this the dimension is not universal. It depends on the particular details. But so far, all the computations were done using a straightforward perturbation analysis, just constructing the following this unstable mode, the static zero mode, and. Computing its back reaction after the third order, and this method was actually developed by Steven Gupter. And here I would like to describe some other perspective on this phase transition and how to compute its order. And this will be based on Ginzburg-Langevin theory of phase transition. So let me remind you briefly. It's about local analysis. One focusing on low energy modes and zooming, namely one doing an expansion of free energy around critical temperature in power supported parameters. So in this example, I will assume that there is a single order parameter, and I will take, well, I want that the above critical temperature the solution is stable, so I assume A positive. Generically, there will be cubic term. And I also assume that this term corresponds, I also assume there's critical solution with zero mode that behaves, that is at the flip sign as we go through the critical temperature. So the presence of cubic term shows that the phase transition is generically first order. We are at minimum above critical temperature. At the critical temperature, there is no minimum, so this ball has to roll. And below critical temperature, the phase the system already underwent first order phase transition. So the ball, in this case, will be located somewhere at finite distance in configuration space at the minimum of the free energy. However, in some cases, this cubic term will be absent by symmetries. So in our case, there will be a certain part of symmetry. And that will force the free energy be contain only given powers of order parameters. So in this case, term could be termed to the absence, and this is the expression that we'll be dealing with. The extrema of the free energy is at lambda equal to zero, which corresponds to the uniform phase, and there is also possibility of some other branch. The other extrema is here, and now this new branch exists if this equality holds, and there are two possibilities which I will discuss in the next slide. One of the possibilities is that C is positive. So in this case, above critical temperature, we have the second order, the third order, we have a minimum. The critical solution itself is also at minimum. And below critical temperature, local minimum of the free energy develops smoothly of the critical point. Okay? So in this case, we say that this is the second order phase transition, and this minimum corresponds to a stable asymmetric phase. If C is positive on the other side, the profile of the potential is given here. As we approach critical temperature, this minimum becomes shallower and shallower. At the critical point, there is tachyon, there is this stable, the solution is unstable, it must roll. And below critical temperature, the system already underwent phase transition to some distant point and configuration plane. So this is another phase which is not covered by this local analysis. Well, this is the first order phase transition. Well, in summary, the sign of C, given that A is positive, the sign of C determines the order of the phase transition. If C is zero, of course, the transition will be of the second, of the higher order. And the thermodynamics is encoded by F. So as soon as we know F, we can compute the variation of the mass and the H. Okay? Yeah. So I'll discuss the GL instability of left string and the phase transition and the LG theory of transition, now the symmetry, how to implement, how to apply this LG in GL. And also I'll talk about how to do this in the system which has more than one compact dimension. So in gravity, one has this York-Gibbons-Hawking correspondence. So one considers gravity in Euclidean signature and writes the gravity action, which corresponds to beta times F, where F is the free energy. And the first term is the Ricci scalar, the second term is corresponds to the extrinsic curvature of the boundary term, and K naught is same for reference geometry. The matrix here, the integral here is taken over the matrix with a given asymptotic behavior with specified compact lengths, compact circles lengths L, and the Euclidean period beta, and symmetries of the problem. So beta is the inverse temperature. Now, as soon as we have this gravitational action, the program will be to compute variation of this action around the GL point. Namely, we look at the lowest energy perturbation, the GL mode, and we construct perturbation and reconstruct expansion of this action around induced by this marginally tachyonic mode, which will be of this form. Lambda here will correspond to the amplitude of this mode, and the exponential ik that is just the lowest Fourier mode along the compact dimension. So what kind of metric perturbations do we consider? So the most general static black string background of cylinder is given by this expression. There are three metric functions that depend on R and Z. F is the regular Schwarzschild expression, and for all of them, vanish A, B, C, 0, and you get the spin from black string. So now let's denote the fields collectively by X, and we consider perturbative expansion of the form, where X naught corresponds to the background uniform string, lambda X1 is the GL mode, and the second order will be the back branch due to this mode.
Are you saying it's more general? Why don't you have a cross term once you use the perturbation dr dz? Since you sort of fix radio coordinate and you keep it the same as in the
floor. Yeah, so right. So there were some gauging involved, yes. So there is freedom of in RZ plane to gauge freedom to eliminate metric functions. So in principle, yes, you can have R.
You're saying that if I take that into account, then that's the most general. Was it is, I guess.
Well, general after you eliminate this degrees of freedom after you fix the gauge.
So you are not missing anything.
I'm not missing degrees of freedom. I mean, all are there. Yeah, so I should say that the gauge is fixed.
It's also a little bit funny that BR and BZ have the same walk pattern.
You can choose it, it's actually convenient, it's pretty convenient. You can choose different work factors, but it's convenient in numerical implementation to choose.
So you have two, so in principle there are two different work factors plus a cross term, so those are three functions.
Yeah, so you can use 2 degrees of freedom to.
You can reparametrization in R and that to eliminate.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that reparametrization change what f of r is? Wouldn't that induce now? That's precisely my point. That it's not like you have an arbitrary reparametrization in rz plane, because you insist. So somehow your only reparametrizations are such that, in fact, it looks like to me you cannot do anything with r.
So even this gauge is still not fixed completely. Even this choice doesn't fix.
I'm saying that it doesn't look like that it's a gauge. I'm saying that there are an implicit assumption here. At least naively, it looks like you have you fixed a bunch of walk factors. But we can talk about this later. Naively, there is once I start performing it, then there will be a walk path in front of dr, which is an arbitrary function rz. So it will be a cross term dr dz.
Yeah, right.
And then there will be another one in front of dz.
Right. So there are three functions. Three functions of freedom.
Right. But then, then I guess I'm saying that once you start doing changes of variables, your f of r will become f of r comma z, right?
Yeah, so you will have the gauge terms. Right.
But you still keep f of r as an Schwarzschild solution.
Oh, you mean this f of r?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. So see, you can choose, you can rotate and choose coordinates in rz plane in such a way that you eliminate two ambiguities, and you will be left with one walk path, but that will introduce that dependence in F.
Yes, well, I think you can, this F of R, you can absorb it into redefinition. Well, we can discuss
okay.
it later, but I thought about something.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a problem to do this from the tradition. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so we will be. We'll take the fields collectively by X and consider this perturbative expansion with the mode that starts all the story and the back reaction that this produces. Now, the free energy expansion, now we have to substitute all this perturbative theory into series into phase, into the expression for the gravitational action, and to compute the terms to the right order, and there will also be a term that corresponds to the moving from the critical point. Well, in the perturbation theory, when one substitutes this series and compute the integral, one finds that the expression that one has to take are the second order. There is one single expression coming from this term. At the fourth order, there are term like which corresponds to when you have in the action integral, you have four gravitational quantum modes and some other terms, which by field equations can be collected into a single term C, which we will designate C, and this is of the fourth order in lambda. So let me just summarize the computational step. So we solve the Einstein equation at the leading order, so some differential operator acting on this x gel to 0 mod. So this gives the Gregorian quantum wavelength, wave number. Then we solve the equations for back reaction, which is the same operator acts on back reaction and now sourced by first order perturbation. And then after this is computed, we substitute into free energy integral and compute the coefficients A and C. And after that is found, we compute mass and the entropy variation. Okay. So in either direct or LG inspired method, there are two bottom lines, the numbers M and C, MS and AC. And these are related by thermodynamic relations. So one can do all the computation and using both methods and to compare the outcome. And it turns out that the both computation yield comparable results. So it's 5% comparability at most, which is probably has to do with numerical errors. So the conclusion here that we show that this LG-inspired method works in black string case, but the benefit is that this is more economic method. Actually, we don't have to go to the third order and the computer solve more of the use of the third order. One just uses the information from the second order and computes action integral. Sorry, question? Now let me to consider generalization of an application of this LG technique to more general complexification. So now we have a torus, p-dimensional torus, and b is the scale number of standard dimensions. So the uniform brain of relevant brain is the Schwarzschild time this torus. The instability is again found found in the same fashion. We have to solve the zero mode equation when we fully decompose this perturbation along the torus directions. And it turns out that the critical GL mass, the minimum mass, the mass below which the torus, this brain is unstable, corresponds to the shortest vector in the reciprocal lattice. So torus defines lattice, it has reciprocal lattice, momentum lattice, and critical mass corresponds to the shorter vector in this lattice. Now, since we have several compact dimensions, the options here include that we can have several unstable modes, and this is counted like the number of reciprocal vectors closest to the origin. Okay, so one can view the space of tori as having two boundaries, highly asymmetrical toroid where one or more dimensions are much larger than others. So if one is much larger, it should be very close to what we have with the black string, which has only one proper dimension. On the other side, there is highly symmetrical toroid such as square torus. So in this case, all the tachyons, all the directions become unstable simultaneously. So if we study the second case, then we achieve understanding of both ways. Because, well, we have to know the S1 case, and then there's one in two-dimensional torus, saying one much larger than two others, so two much larger than the others, so we don't have sort of torus. So for simplicity and for, we focus on square torus here. So in this case, as I said, there are p simultaneous tachyons. The torus directions are all identified with the same asymptotic length. And the generalization at the linear order, the generalization generalizes from a single mode to several modes. There's tachyonic space now by this spanned by this tachyonic modes, and the back reaction, which is roughly speaking square, sourced by a square of the first order, is now becomes a tensor in this tachyonic space, becomes quadratic form. Well, and there is some additional complication that when we have torus instead of circle, there are some more metric fields. Well, there are symmetries of this. We assume square torus, so there are all the symmetries of exchange of the direction. So this simplifies life greatly. So we have only two distinct components of all this, of the back reaction tensor and the other tensors as well. So T equal was computed for a T1 case, so now we are set to compute the not equal order, x back reaction not equal. So again, we consider expansion of the free energy along this perturbation. So now it's a multidimensional. And as a result, the quadratic coefficient of the energy of the free energy expansion is proportional to what we got in the single quantification case, while the quartic coefficients becomes the quadratic form, like so. And this is also due to the symmetries of the torus has only two components. So now we consider we have to find the sign of the before we have to find in order to compute the order of the phase transition, one has to determine the variation of C along all directions in tachyonic space. So now let us consider the circle in the tachyonic space. It is in this zero mode space of all the directions of the torus. Now it's one can show that C, this coefficient C, this quadratic form varies in the finite range given here, if where C average is defined here. So in order the transition to be second order, C has to be positive along all directions in tachyonic space. So and this will happen if both these numbers are positive and non-negative. So by definition, these numbers do not depend on the dimension of the torus for the square torus. So C was found already. So now we have to find the C not equal, and this is enough to do for two-dimensional torus. And from two-dimensional torus, it will also define, it will also tell what happens during any torus. So rather than computing C not equal directly, we look along the diagonal direction in the tachyonic space, so all tachyons are switched on at the same strength. So this is the direction that we take. And it turns out that looking at this direction corresponds to computing this C average defined in the previous slide. And from this C average, doing when one does this computation P equals 2, one finds the C not equal term. So the result of this computation are here. So an accessory condition that C not equal, that C equal is positive. So this is the condition that the second order will happen. So an accessory condition is that C equal is positive. So from here we immediately learn that for all dimensions smaller than 12.5, which is the critical dimension for a phase transition for a single quantification in canonical ensemble. So below this dimension, the phase transition is first order. It will be also first order for any p-dimensional door. So it turns out that the converse is true as well. So for dimensions above 11, where C equal is positive, it turns out that C not equal is positive as well, and therefore C average is positive 2 for all P, and hence the phase transition is second order in this range of dimensions for all P. So in conclusion, in TP quantification, the transition order depends only on the number of extended dimensions. Yeah, so there is some subtle, there is some more subtle observation that from analysis of the numbers, the numerical values of this C equal and C average, it follows that for larger dimension, the diagonal direction is disfavored related to turning on a single tachyon. So if we have, in the case of first transition, the torus evolution will proceed initially through the single tachyon. So while for second order transition, the system will resettle into slightly non-uniform along one of directions of the torus. So this subtle symmetry is breaking, which makes sense, right? That square torus is not generic. One can imagine torus slightly non-equal by quantification. So yeah, so this is these are the results for torus, and now I want to talk about something which is both answer to a question of Amichai Kanani, if there is a formula that gives this 13.5, or and also a word of caution, because this formula is a formula which one has to use, what one may to use with a certain careful. Yes. So there is a so-called equal area for equal, how much time do I have, by the way?
You start at 11, wow.
15 minutes, perfect. So let me describe this so-called estimator. So in order to find this existence of the critical dimension, one can use the following estimator. One can compare the entropy of the black stream living here with the entropy of a black hole living here at a given map. This is estimator because one uses Schwarzschild expression for a black hole instead of exact expression of a black hole, which is deformed from Schwarzschild when it lives in a compact dimension. So if one computes if one compares for which mass this happens, one finds interesting thing that in the dimensions below 12, this entropy or surface area much occurs above critical mass. Now, for high enough dimension, this occurs below critical mass. So this may indicate that there should be a high enough dimension, there should be phase emerging from here, whose entropy will match entropy of the black hole. So this was used as an estimator, and actually the expression that one gets here is 12.5. So if one plots here this mass, and S mass computed this way, with actual mass computed in numerical analysis, one sees the crossing between these lines, and the crossing occurs at the dimension 12.5. So this is sort of an estimate for this critical dimension. But it turns out it works well in a single compactification. But it turns out to lead completely wrong results in torus compactification. And the reason is that this formula uses Schwarzschild value instead of actual value, and for torus case, the actual area of the black hole is very different from the expression, from the Schwarzschild expression. So this formula contains unusually large error bars, if you like. If one corrects this formula by adding some small variation, correction, one can see that this correction, very tiny correction here. I want to say something different. I actually said that this already, that this expression it does approximate good to the torus situation. So one can, doing this entropy comparison in the torus case, one actually obtains that there should be critical dimensions for, and even it should be below 10 dimensions. It should be something like 8 or 9. But as I showed in the previous slides, there is obviously, the direct computation shows there is obviously no such critical dimensions. So this formula should be used with certain caution. Okay, now let me end up by saying a few words about some open questions related to the GL phase transition. So the open question here is the pinch off in both dynamical and the static context. So the pinch off wasn't observed not in the dynamical context, not in the static case. So if for static solutions only finite non-uniformity was observed, so there is no way to generate a solution with arbitrary non-uniformity and to approach this pinch off arbitrary clause. So this is an open question, and I want to say a few words about the pinch off in both contexts. So if one considers static solutions, and approaches this merger point, this pinch off along, say, on uniform black string branch, the local analysis at the merger point says that the pinch off solution is probably well approximated by Kohn. And moreover, if one considers near critical solutions, that is solutions which are very non-uniform but still are not pinching, and one goes along the family of this solution and computes some characteristic length scale, like variation of the minimal radius of this the waist of this solution, it behaves. It is proposed that it should behave like a power law. With some constant, and p is the parameterization along this branch. Different p's correspond to different solutions, and p star corresponds to the critical solution. And also, there should be this should be not monotonic, but should be will be dressed with wiggles, so it will have also some. Which is a periodic function. So if one say plots this L as a function of parametric distance from the critical cone, one will see that this minimal radius will go to zero, so it will go to zero, but it will go to zero. The leading behavior is a straight line given by the coefficient gamma, and there is also will be periodic with a certain period. So this is a strikingly similar to what one finds in the critical collapse of scalar field, the so-called chop tree phenomena. When one collapses the scalar field, as you can see, is that the mass of the resulting black hole. So the chop tree phenomena, the critical collapse phenomena, means if one has some scalar field distribution that collapse, if it's massive enough, if there is enough matter, it will collapse and will create black hole. If it's not massive enough, it will just approach origin and will disperse back. So the critical phenomenon appears in the intermediate regime between formation and dispersion. So the critical solution is when one approaches formation of the black hole, and the resulting black hole will be actually of zero mass, and the mass of this black hole will behave as a power law, as one tunes some parameters that, roughly speaking, defines the look at the strength of the initial data that led to the formation of this black hole. But this is very similar that one gets here. Now, this is a proposal, or two proposals, basically. One, cone is a critical at merger. And two, behavior of characteristic one is near merger. Now, the cone conjecture wasn't verified, basically. One can do numerical computation to find this non-uniform black string solution, and then to examine these solutions and to see if they resemble cone. So the most non-uniform solution was gotten something of this form. So one compares this numerical solution with the exact cone metric, and actually sees that there is a cone. The metric in this region of the solution is approximated by cone very well. Numerical evidence showed that this is about 10% of much. So it really seems that the solution and the vicinity of the wave has this cone-like structure. Now, it was also verified with lesser accuracy that the characteristic length scale, which was taken to be a radius of this wave, it behaves as a power law, as a function of the parameter. with certain gamma, which is turns out to be different than the prediction. By the way, these predictions are due to Bragg-Pohl. However, this sort of periodicity was not observed. And in order to see this periodicity, one can understand that one has to look at the large enough span of the parameter distance from the critical parameter. So if one has only some small range cover, the periodicity won't be observed. So one has to really follow the solution very close and probably several orders of magnitude of this of these parameters to see if there is really a variation on the curve. So this, as for the relation to the Chapturic scaling of the critical collapse, there's probably a reason why it should work. If one considers static solutions, so one solves basically equations derived from the action given by Richter scalar in some dimension, and if one considers static solutions, one can reduce over t, so one gets d minus one dimensional theory plus scalar field, if you like, gdt. While in the critical collapse, what one solves, so this is static solutions. While in the critical collapse, one solves exactly this. One solves some d-dimensional metric plus scalar field, massless scalar field. So the matter content and the equations are similar. The difference is this is a static case, and this is time-dependent case. So the boundary conditions that one has to put for the equations are different. So so this this solution has not to be the same, and it turns out that the predictions from gotten for static solutions in this case are different from the actual numbers computed if one takes the scalar field and let it collapse in a dynamical situation. In this case, one also gets this gamma and also gets this periodicity. And this gamma and deltas turn out to be different from gamma and deltas here. So the exact correspondence, how to go from one deltas and gammas to other, if there is such correspondence, is not known. So. So, and probably the most important thing that is missing here is in all this Gregorian-Laplan instability is what is the end state in the dynamic evolution. So one has to trace it dynamically and to see if there is how the pinch off occurs. And how long does it take? And one possibility can be that this could be one of the mathematical possibilities. Could be that this pinching takes infinite time. Or and it would be very interesting to see what happens in the dynamical evolution near the merger point. How exactly, if there is pinching, how it occurs. As for the finite or infinite time, I can say that there were works of Horowitz and Maeda, one of the works that created, let's say, initiated the intensive research in this realm. It's the work of Horowitz and Maeda, who said that the pinch off cannot occur, they proved basically that it cannot occur in a fine time along the horizon, but they did not eliminate possibility that it can occur in infinite fine time. So and they concluded that this is, if the pinch off is so slow, they actually estimated how long, what is the rate of the decay of the uniform black string in terms of a fine time, and show that this is related to the infinite time exponentially. So, and then they say that it's improbable. If the decay is so slow, it's improbable that the black string will pinch off. It's probably will just settle down to some intermediate non-uniform solution. Now, from numerical computation that I mentioned, of the dynamical simulation that I mentioned before, which is imperfect and crashes, one still can relate, compute the affine time, and to plot it in terms of asymptotic time, simulation time, and one sees exactly this, that while it passed very small amount of asymptotic simulation time, the affine parameter grows rapidly, exponentially. So, and the dynamical simulation went pretty well until the ratio between smaller and the larger radius, the larger and the smaller is about 10 without showing any slowdown of dynamics. So probably what in this work of Horowitz and Wade was regarded as improbable, probably this is exactly what is seen in numerical simulation. So probably this is not very probable. I will end up with mentioning cosmic censorship issue, which is out here, which is in here. Naively, one has this string. There is a singularity inside it, warped along a circle. So what happens when this guy pinches off? So the singularity, will the singularity become visible, or will it become visible for a very short time? Will it only remain on the horizon, or will it leave the horizon? It is an open issue. So how the transition occurs? So yes, there will be a sort of explosion, and probably singular shock wave will go away to infinity. But if the singularity is seen here, probably one will need some knowledge of quantum gravity, what happens to this singularity, to learn about the form and the energy of the shock. So this is the cosmic censorship issue, which is open. Yeah, and that probably end up at this point.
Questions?
Maybe I have a very quick question. So it's to this whole issue. So since this is just Einstein gravity, right? So the Ricci scale of energy, since your fluctuations are all parallels, what about R squared? What happens to it? I guess my question is, he has a point when there is a pinching, are there some type of forces growing large, and you know, the curvature invariants grow large? So this is sort of the question, whether this is a well-posed problem to begin with in Einstein gravity, the pinching.
You mean to start with the cone metric, right?
Well, not necessarily. For example, if people who do the simulations, right? So the simulation when they look at the pinching, it's a very specific question is what happens with R squared? Like R will vanish, but what happens, does the R squared grow? Yeah. If it grows, then I would not trust the analysis, not on a technical level, but on a conceptual level. Because, you know, you should start worrying about high derivative correction.
Yeah, so the question of what happens with the correction with the curvature invariant. Well, if it grows, it's certainly short.
Yeah, but my answer, my question is, well, what's happening? Is it now?
Is it grows?
I haven't followed the higher derivative.
Sorry?
Higher derivative, which would come from where?
No, not the high derivative. I'm saying there is a geometry, right? So there is a metric. So you can compute a Riemann density, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that each scale vanishes because it's constant equation.
Yeah.
But you can take Riemann density and compact it in a different way.
Yeah.
And I'm asking what happens with this R squared terms. Do they grow or not?
Perturbatively?
Numerically, not true.
Yeah, numerically, I don't know. Perturbatively, Ruth and I did calculate this because we were on.
Right, yeah.
Is this all gauge stuff?
Yeah.
I thought it was growing.
Okay.
Linearly.
Right, so this is what I mainly would expect. So basically, I think I would expect that this pinching you cannot physically address in much.
That's the point, right?
Curvature invariance grow, some curvature invariance, then you have to improve the high derivative fractions besides Einstein-Hilbert. So that's my only point. If I want to
believe that you have these corrections, right? What does that imply for this geometry?
Yeah, you're right. You know, the question could be asked just in the language of Einstein-Hilbert.
Yeah, so that's the question is one needs some insight from quantum relativity.
Yeah,
which is exactly the same. Provide the theory, and I'm sure somebody...
We know, it's string theory.
It's not the most aggressive
statement. Any more questions?
All right, thank you very much.